I swim. I do swim. I'm not one of the people who swim all year round, but I do like to swim in the summer, so I go out there and swim.
In the 1820s, the population of Portland was quite small, actually. By the 1830s, it had almost doubled, getting on towards 2,000, possibly 3,000 population. But it was a very isolated community, Portland was. There was no easy link to the mainland. The only link, short of walking along Chesil Beach, was the ferry at what is now Ferry Bridge, which was built later than 1820, that was 1839.
It's a sort of escape, really. Escape into the cosmos. I probably didn't think like that when I was younger, but I used to go out on my own before I was 12.
Even going across the Atlantic, there is a tidal flow that people pick up around like November to go to the Caribbean, and they're expecting a hurricane season to pass to the north. And now sail south on a certain point, and people who row across it, sail across it, would use tidal streams to follow to make their passage easier.
Rough weather, you've got the swell, but on top of that, you've got the waves on top of the swell. So, and then on top of that, so the waves, there's waves upon waves, really. The swell, you almost don't notice it, but you feel yourself going up and up. And you get to the point where you're so used to the motion that you anticipate the motion. When you go up a ladder, it helps if the boat is going downwards.
Late on Monday the 22nd, a storm in the channel began veering from south-southeast to southwest, while steadily rising to hurricane force. Residents had learned to cope with periodic flooding by a seepage through the shingle, but this was beyond their experience. Before daybreak on Tuesday, the hurricane, coinciding with spring tide, threw gigantic waves cascading over the beach.
To the southwest, we're pretty well protected. But if it goes into the west or northwest, then we start to get a bit of a swell across or chop across the harbour.
Well, when the southwesterly storms, you know, they come straight over Chesil Beach, and actually when you look at the map, you know, if you look at the direction, I mean, the next piece of land is south, you know, South America. So, you know, we are exposed here.
Oh, it's like banshees. It's absolutely like banshees screaming through the rigging when it's windy like that. When I first moved here, I lived on board the boat, and then yeah, you'd wake up in the middle of the night to sort of the waves lapping the hull and the rigging shaking and just the sound of clanking with ropes clacking against the mast.
Oh, the noise is horrendous, but then it's constant, you know, it's the shrieking of the wind.
You get to know boats will feel, every boat has a different way of moving, and you get so in tune with it you don't notice it. You're always up there.
Creaking and groaning, and there's things that you know are normal, and then it's amazing how easily your brain picks out the sounds that are abnormal and that shouldn't be there to go, that sounds like something's wrong, and sort of go out and scramble around. But
yeah, I mean, waves, there's waves on waves on waves. I mean, you go across the Atlantic and you're on a massive swell, and when it's, you can be becalmed for quite a long time, but nevertheless, even though the water's flat like a mirror, you go, and it swells like massive swell, so the wavelength is really long, but it's still a big swell.
But we'll still be, you know, there's still a lot that can happen with just the wind. It doesn't require sort of the swell as well, especially if there's some sort of lightly secured sails or canvas covers on boats. As soon as the wind gets inside there, it plays at it and it just keeps working at it until it suddenly comes loose, and then, you know, you've got a bigger problem on your hands.
The thing about being, if you're in a big ocean, you're actually, in some ways, you're more safe than you are when you're close to land. Because if you're close to land and you have a problem, you might not be able to get away from the land, and then you end up on the land, which is not where you want to be.
Even though there were long rollers, they seem to sort of, it's like a big, it's water, but it looks like a roll of carpet coming to you, and one minute it's two or three metres above your eye line, and the next thing you're on top of it.
So if you're 100 miles or more away from any coastline, you have a problem, you can drift.
Somehow this huge quantity of sea just passes beneath you.
A most horrid scene presented itself. The sea ran down the streets of Chisel with a sufficient depth of water to float a vessel of 100 tons burden.
Just imagine the wave that plopped that ship right up onto the top of the Chisel Bank as well, isn't it? It's absolutely unbelievable, the scale of that.
Stout cottages were torn apart and furniture was strewn about the village.
The lovely account of Fleet that was recorded by William Barnes's son, where the description there is, they saw the wave coming in with a whole haystack.
Richard Best, the ferryman with 30 years' experience, struggled against the storm to rescue a horse, but was washed away and drowned. The ferry boat and the posts were destroyed, and the banks were eroded, leaving the water channel there four times its former width.
Always. I wouldn't say scared in the sense that terrified, but fear in a respectful way for the sea. You know, man can't control the sea. I think, can you prove that?
If you have trust in the boat, a lot of it's to do with having faith in the boat. You trust your boat, and quite often it's quite difficult to trust a boat until you've been through a gale. And once you've been through that gale and you come through, you trust the boat. So when you get it again, slightly less fear.
By not respecting it, we could create all sorts that can affect animals instantly. So the sea's got its own way of dealing with things. I am fearful of the sea, but in a respectful way. You just got to keep checking those weather reports for any voyage.
This will happen in the future. It's happened absolutely regularly in the past, and it's absolutely horrendous. If the 1824 gale were to repeat at that same level, forget weather getting more extreme and where we think we are in the world, if it was simply to repeat at the same level, then thousands of people would be made homeless.
I do respect it, and I wouldn't take any chances with it. If we have a flood warning, or even if we don't have a flood warning, but I know that there is high tide, a surge, and a gale blowing, I do take precautions. In all its moods, really, it's the sea and the beach changes, you know, every time you go out and there's been a tide, it's different, the beach looks different.